Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And
hold on. Good. Broadcast is reset.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Wednesday night and it's 7 o'clock, and we're in the twilight section of the ABD guidebook by E.J. Gold. And we've spent the last 55 weeks dipping our toes into the water, and it's been a wonderful event. And tonight we move forward to book 19, and in this guidebook. And if you pick up the guidebook, it comes in, I think it's primarily in this form, though it does come in a hard copy, which we don't have a copy of right in front of us. So, but that's what it looks like, a spectacular cover. And it's always a delight to look at every time I open it.
Are you not up still?
I'm broadcasting.
Okay.
Okay. It could be.
And we're recording, so we'll just proceed and pretend that everything's okay, because in the distant future, someone's going to want to listen to this.
Someone will.
So we're on book 19, and you know, when I went through it, I thought it would be interesting for the three of us to read through it. What do you think, Ivan?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Why don't you start, Ivan?
Get us started, if you would.
Yeah, roll us through it.
Okay, the 19th book of the
Maybe,
Dead.
Hang on. I think we need the other phone. That one.
Be reading into the phone.
Oh, yes, to collect the sound.
That one came off of this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Yes. Look, am I on?
No.
Am I on now?
Yes.
The 19th book of the dead, called the Book of As-Sami. 1. And it is I who hear all sounds. It is from me that no sound is hidden or unheard. I hear the black ant creeping across the sand in the night.
My listening is without ears, just as I act without hands or feet and speak without tongue. Mine is the hearing of all sounds at once through divine audition.
3. And now you have allowed yourself to become confused by the forms and illusions of the transit world, and you have become afraid. If you surrender now to the overwhelming forces of rebirth and you fall into sleep, you shall be carried off into rebirth without hope for liberation.
Four. But even if you recognize the nature of reality after this, you shall not attain liberation by recognition of reality, because the forms of illusion have you in their bonds now too deeply for them to break simply by realization.
5. And recognition now does not have the same power to liberate you from the powerful grip of the forms of illusion of the world.
6. And if you are filled with fear, remember the form of the guide and see him as the form of a pleasant and safe being who is filled with the desire to free you from fear and confusion.
Seven. And now the forces of rebirth shall thrash you about between alternating states of joy and sadness moment by moment. Do not resist this with aggression, and do not fall asleep through desires and passions.
Eight. And if you are to be reborn into one of the higher of the six worlds, but your surviving relatives or friends are performing their obligation toward you during this period in ways which you know to be incorrect, you must not feel anger toward them.
Nine. And if you now feel anger or resentment toward those who are performing their duties improperly, or if you attempt to cause them to cease their actions or to correct their actions, then you shall be drawn down into the hell world, and there you shall be reborn.
10. And if you still feel an attachment to any of the people or the possessions that you left behind, or if you feel attached to the influence and power that you had there, and you become angry or upset at their loss, that shall cause you to be drawn to the world of the hungry ghosts, even though you were about to be reborn into a higher world.
11. And even though you may feel an attachment to the people or to the things of the world which you had to leave behind you, you cannot have them any more here in this state, nor in the life to come.
12. And if you are having difficulty in leaving them behind you, give them to the guide who will give them away for you. And in that way you shall be able to let them go. And you must now remain in the state which is free from desires. Realize that in the new life you will be given all that you require.
13. And while the teaching is being recited to you, and you watch and listen to them through the ethers as a result of impure thoughts and perceptions arising from your tendencies and beliefs, you may feel that they are reciting the teaching carelessly or stupidly or inattentively in sleep, without any real intention to aid you in this time, or without interest in your condition.
14. And you may feel the lack of faith and feelings of fear or disbelief in those who are reciting this teaching for your assistance and aid, and you may feel that they have betrayed you, and you may become angered or upset at them for not performing their duties correctly. And thus will you be driven to the hell world or to the world of hungry ghosts and be reborn there.
15. And be it known that in reality you are observing the community of beings who are of pure spirit performing this ritual of the teaching for you.
Correction, recital of the teaching.
This recital of the teaching for you. And you have come to believe that they are your personal friends and that you have known in life.
And you have come to believe that they are speaking to you from the human world only, and that you have been hearing their voices and seeing into their hearts as they truly are. And in truth, you have been watching the luminous nature of the void as it is in pure spirit.
17. And in reality, regardless of your perceptions, everyone is performing correctly in perfect purity. And there is no action now which is not pure devotion. And by your own purity, you can perceive the purity of others. And if your perception of others proves them to be not pure, then it is your own inner nature that is not yet purified. 4. Only that which is within you can you now perceive in others. This completes this reading of the 19th Book of the Dead, called the Book of Asami.
So, quite something. I mean, I'm always just amazed at just the structure of what E.J. does in these books. First of all, he leads off with the attribute of God, you know, Asami, who is the listener.
Mm-hmm.
I listen.
Mm-hmm.
Stillness and being, and there's still stillness and silence. He listens. Then it goes on to, okay, we get given that, and then it goes on to the Voyager.
Mm.
And the Voyager is a mess at this point, right?
We're all here.
Just, oh my goodness gracious. All this stuff is going on and bad, and the people are reading and they're just doing a horrid job. And then toward the end of the book, it's like he gives us a life raft out of that confusion that we're stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
There's my family and they're not reading well for me. They're just, what a horrible job they're doing. And he's saying, wait a minute, this is the community of friends reading for you. This is the community of the angelic community is reading. And you can get out of your feeling sense. Here's how you do it. And that's what the last several wonderful paragraphs are, verses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that beautiful statement about in 17, and by your own purity, you can perceive the purity of others. That's what a great formula. I mean, for some reason, I immediately thought of, I think it's William Blake who said, cleanse the doors of perception, you know, which is to say you don't have judgment. If you want to purify, if you want to see reality as it is, you have to not have judgment and not have projection and not have illusion and not have fantasy. Yeah, and not have your own formula and all that, yeah.
Criteria.
No. I think that's this.
That's okay. Leave it alone.
Yeah, let's just leave it as it is.
Yeah. If you want to speak on this phone.
Well, it's that phone.
Oh, well, is anyone...
Yeah, is anyone there? Is she?
Yeah, and we need that.
You are it.
Yeah.
You are the eternal non-voice. And the eternal unborn.
And the participant on the phone conference. Thank you. Without you, there wouldn't be a conference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right, you're the listener.
The great listener. So let's unpack that a little bit, Ivan, that last phrase that you talked about. Say it again, and then let's...
From 17? You want to start with 17?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting that it's introduced by the one that you mentioned first. And there is no action now which is not pure devotion, which is, boy, that what a window into reality. I mean, that's a reality with a capital R.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but that's followed by, and by your own purity, you can perceive the purity of others. So.
Let's just focus on that for a minute. So. Wow. So, what's the corollary of that?
Go ahead.
Am I still on? Yeah, oh, good. All right. If by your impurity, you will perceive the impurity of others. Is that what you're thinking of?
That's what I'm thinking of. In that place of confusion and impurity, that's what we see around us.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we stand in the place of perfection and beauty and the eternal perfection, not the external,
mm-hmm.
but that internal beauty, then what do we see around us? What surrounds us at that time? I didn't go over there when she passed, but when Karen was passing, it felt and that her total beauty was coming out. Like that's all she was. She wasn't someone who walks on a walker.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a being filled with beauty.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good statement about the space, the
yeah.
chamber. And her presence in it, and the overriding quality of the chamber, that's what it was. It was magnificent beauty.
I'm going to go out a little bit on a limb here, Pat.
Please do.
With you. Okay. Pat can get into a space where she has a lot of judgment about others, and it's staccato-like, from a musician's
point of view.
Point of view.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But there's almost no one who I trust more in the holy space to be thoroughly objective. And when you're in total objectivity, that's all there is. You're seeing a voyager in perfection. And you're seeing the Voyager, all the other stuff is immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally immaterial to the event. And I think you have that, which makes you an exceptional guide that push comes to shove. And I've always wondered about this because there's a lot of bodily functions that are hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, nothing.
Right.
Nothing on them.
Yeah. I think there's a formulation, and I think the formulation is the last sentence.
Mm.
For only that which is within you can you now perceive in others. And I think where that goes for me is, as a child, there were statements like, try to see the good in others from the good in yourself. That was the formulation.
Wow.
The word was good. Now the quality of goodness, you know, has some Christian connotations and all that. But still, it was a formulation which was basically, you don't need to rely on only the judgment part or the reactionary part. You have some other capacity. And it was referenced in that way. I think it was mostly my grandmother who said things like that to me. But as a instructive, in a certain way, as a command to our higher self, we wish to only that which is within us can we perceive in others. If we look at the what is within us as the essential self, if we perceive only the essential self, that's what we will be expressed to from and around. So
what I will see.
Yes.
What I will see.
And the condition under which you will operate, that's what will be established. That's how your formulation of reality will exist.
So are you implying that it comes from me? I'm not dependent on the outside. In other words, if the outside is okay, then I'm okay? So is this different than...
It's very different from I'm okay, you're okay. It is not transactional analysis.
Uh-huh.
Much of that has its place. What it has is as an inner criteria for your own inner work, what you perceive internally is what you experience externally.
Go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question and a conundrum that I have personally. Is that when I look back on my spiritual life, and I remember it starting to unfold in my late teens, started to find itself, though there's evidence of it many years earlier, but certainly in my teens and early 20s, it was starting to gain some momentum. And I look back on that, and I've always had like an internal confidence in my deep inner self, that there's something that's, I didn't even have a word for it then. I knew that like the good will out somehow.
Yeah.
And I assumed that what that was that me sensing this inner essential self, the being, the perfection of being, a little spot of it in there. So why is it that I can't freely access or believe that?
We have a couple of hours here.
We have several lifetimes, I think, on this.
There's a fool. A fool in a lot of traditions is the one who has the capacity to speak to the king in a manner so that the king can understand without the fool getting his head cut off. The fool is the hardest thing for one to listen to, especially if the fool is a part of yourself. That's the trick, in my estimation. What is the king and what is the fool in this circumstance? Who am I paying attention to? So I think, again, as with most of this, it's the degree of discernment, which comes from practice and experience, and it is the qualitative distinction that you have to grow. I can't think of another way of saying it.
Okay, say more about I have.
Can you say that line again?
No.
Yeah, that was very good.
The qualitative distinction that you have to grow in yourself, it's the level of maturity that you have about what is your spiritual experience and what are you fooling yourself about. I can't think of an easy way to describe it. It's all metaphorical to me.
Well,
I don't have the practicalities of it to put my fingers on it. But when you ponder for yourself, what is it that is making you question that either the inner one knows or the inner one is right or that there is an inner one, however you want to formulate that.
I think it's a good, what you're asking is good. I don't think it's so much that I'm questioning it or not questioning it. It's that the external has so much more power.
That, again, put it back into the realm of, we like to do, quote, scientific observation, and scientific observation requires that you do not make a judgment about what you observe until the experiment is over, and you witness all of the aspects of it. So, for instance,
I see.
I hear the sound of my voice, it's a little high, it's a little whiny, it's a little, you know, So I make those observations. I don't go, well, gee, Pat, da-da-da-da-da. I don't make a judgment about it or try and change what it is. I'm trying to record. So your perception comes up, your judgment goes down.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay, that's nice.
Okay?
So that's a great formula.
Like that.
Your perception goes up and your judgment goes down.
Yeah.
That's huge. It's huge.
Actually, I thought you were going to bring up that word that we were talking about at dinner time, I believe, sensing.
Well,
you know, sensing, because sensing could be either the complete opposite of judgment or it could be something that banishes judgment.
Sensing is, you're right.
Sensing is, yeah, it's
sensing
something
is,
like,
it's a method by which the scientific method is accomplished.
That's in our inner world, we're not excluding the electronics of ourselves and sensing. It's observing.
I was just going back to the beginning of this book, which is the second verse. Mine is the hearing of all sounds at once through divine audition.
Yeah.
So, you know, another way of translating that concept could be inner sensing or unlimited intuition, something like that. In other words, this book is suggesting that on the essence level, like at the guide reality, there's unlimited hearing or unlimited sensing.
Go ahead.
That comment about the all sound at once. Because creation is sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are given, and just this morning he reminded us when we were doing the movements, after we did the movements, but we're given a whole teaching, and I don't know what book, but about the face of God and how important the diffused vision is. And so that corresponds with, you know, like putting in line one's habits and practices for seeing the all one and really perceiving it. Diffused vision, it's all one picture. Hearing the sound, if you can get into the space of that guide, it's hearing all sound as one. Is there a practical work on self-exercise about that?
The sensing exercise points to that.
Yeah, okay.
It points to being in that world, perceiving from that methodology. And all of the things that EJ talks about, so many times he's just reminding us over and over, do this practice. Read these verses. Memorize these verses. Read to others. Be in this space.
You only have the form you're walking around in and the use to which you can apply your capacity for observation.
Okay, so here's this. That's the point where I get stuck. So I look at myself, and what overwhelms me and I carry is I find myself wanting.
And the...
Not wanting something, but just...
The primary law that I recall from when I was first introduced to the concept of the fourth way is, how can you change what is? You can't.
Mm.
What is the second part of that? You can't.
You can learn to like it.
You can learn to like it. And I've always taken that when I was first coming around, the phrase was, the fourth way is not necessarily changing what you do, but changing the reason why you do it or the purpose for which you do it. In other words, if it can be placed on a higher obligatory value, if you have necessity for it to be used, so how do you put yourself under the conditions where that wanting is appropriate and useful for the work? That's the question. How can you take what you have and make it available and of service? That's always the question for me. There can't be another question for me because I don't have any other
right.
thing to work with.
Right.
That's how I work. So if it's, okay, here's the easiest one for me that I addressed when I was about 9, which was, oh my God, I'm going to die. Ooh, hate that. Got to think of something I can do. Oh, what could I do? Oh, I could do something when I'm dead that would be of value for when I'm going to be alive or when others are alive. 1967. Oh, gee, people taking LSD. What is that doing to them? What is it that could be done with this? What value is this to a higher purpose? So you ask that question
yeah.
in a certain way,
yeah.
but you can rephrase the question, which is, how can what I'm wanting be of service or value or of necessity for that which is needed in this space to assist the absolute in the purpose of the absolute? Like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We went pretty far off, didn't we?
My question of you, David, is when you use the word wanting, is that another term for yearning?
No, it's not. I'm using it in the poem.
He was saying lacking is what he was
lacking.
He was using it.
I look at myself, I find myself
yeah.
lacking. I'm wanting of fulfillment.
I'm wanting of myself, using myself, utilizing myself in my fullest
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the burden that I carry, that I seem to carry all along. It's the judgment of it.
Oh, because of the judgment, that's why you put that.
The judgment bars me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful force
mm-hmm.
within me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could say it's the judgment, let's say, as a function of machine, you know, like machine intellect or machine experience or whatever, or you know, or it could be, oh geez, I just lost the thread. something about the it's a dissatisfaction, you know, I was thinking. An antidote could be that the present is the destination, you know, and that, in other words, that it's all about, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, I have to follow this journey, I have to follow these stones, I have to take this yellow brick path to get to the Emerald City, and that's where the enlightenment is. But there are all the, you know, like we were talking about the perennial philosophy, there are all these teachings, just about every esoteric teaching from all over the globe is saying, and EJ says this all the time, you are already there, you know, you are awake, actually. You are the essential self.
Mm-hmm.
You exist. You live. You walk. I mean, you actually are here as the essential self, joined with the machine. So what am I thinking of? So judgment, you know, you could say that judgment is separating you from that, or it's just that, you know, the separation is separating you.
Yeah.
You know, being separated, being not present, is keeping me from this purity, for example, let's say, this purity and at the end of this book.
Bodhisattva prayer, the quatrain,
mm-hmm.
The last one is, the way which da-da-da is unattainable.
Mm-hmm. I vow to attain it.
What's that middle phrase? The way, it's the way...
To enlighten all beings or to awaken? No.
Is anybody online? Ask them what that fourth line is of the Bodhisattva quatrain, which I say every class I go to. The way which cannot be... Oh, the way which can not be followed is unattainable, or something like that. I vow to attain it.
That's right.
Is the point, is that each individual seeker must find their own way.
Mm-hmm.
We can follow the common path that's laid out to us, but each voice must sing.
Each voice must sing, and they have to sing their own tune.
They're singing their own tune.
That's exactly what happens. What is the common element from the language that we use for inner work, for inner practice, for inner attention, for inner observation? What is the common language that we speak to ourselves about what it is that we say we're doing? And the reason I'm asking this, there's no particular answer here, but the reason I'm asking this is because the formulation that we lay on ourselves about what it is that we say we are doing creates the what we are doing for ourselves.
Hmm.
So it's just like this other sentence here, which I've lost now, but it's, you know, we don't have anything else other than what we are looking at, right? It's what we are seeing is created by what we are looking at, comes from what we are seeing ourselves. For only that which is within you can you now perceive in others. So how you formulate for yourself what it is that is, quote, your inner work, that formulation,
right,
is what you walk around with, that produces the construction of what you receive. So
where I am,
yeah,
right now is that I'm dependent on others to tell me how I'm doing.
And what they tell you is going to be determined by what you think about it,
yeah,
yourself.
And I can't quite buy that.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't. I'm avoiding buying that.
Well, okay. You get a pass.
So I was doing, a friend of mine gave me a little DVD to do Qigong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little 15-minute awakening thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Da, 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 da. And I'm doing it, and I'm noticing that I'm alone in my home watching it on the TV, right?
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that I'm doing it the way he wants me to do it.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes.
And I'm thinking about that, and I go, my God, there's a real reason that he's doing this breathing exercise or this stretching exercise. It has to do with my individual muscles. It doesn't matter that I'm look good. I'm like,
yeah.
Anyway, it really cracked me up.
Yeah.
Dan has the answer.
Okay, first of all, Chetu says, the way which cannot be followed is unattainable. I vow to attain it.
Who's this?
Chetu.
Chetu's.
Royalty.
Yeah.
And secondly, Visa has some a comment. There is a simple yet powerful exercise, sensing and feeling. 10 minutes, lay down saying out loud what you sense in your body without interpretation.
That's a wonderful one.
Yeah, those are very, very good.
Very good.
All of these practices, I mean, when we go to invocation of presence, we're going to see it again.
Yeah.
It's individually developing the sensing mechanism, individually developing what it means to you to be in presence. Yes, you can test it with others. You can.
Yes.
But you have to get, what muscle are you using?
There you go.
What exact muscle are you using to make it work?
Well, we know for a fact that using your judgment will not assist in the strengthening of the muscle either of discernment or of sensing or of invoking presence or of observation or anything else that is of any particular use to it. So,
well, except, Pat, you know, I've used this methodology of judgment against myself and others for so, a little over 60 years now, and I think I'm starting to agree with you.
Well, maybe you haven't perfected it yet.
That's true. Oh, Christ on the cross.
I don't know if we should continue in this vein. I sometimes wish that the youngers were sitting here, not just literally at my feet, but also in my ear, because, you know, I'm going, oh, if this is all that's going to get said about this, it's just not enough. We just have to have more that's going to be offered.
Well,
anyway, I want to just say one thing about this particular book,
okay?
Book 19 is pretty much, we're coming to the close of this text, okay, the guidebook. And the one thing about this particular text is, it's gentleness in description. Now, some of the previous texts had a lot of graphic description. This one only has the black ant creeping across the sand in the night. Now, I usually read any of these texts in reverse order just to test myself, to see, am I paying attention to what is said at the beginning and the end, at least. So
please,
for that,
do that
purpose,
for us.
I am reading verse 17 and verse 1. 17. And in reality, regardless of your perceptions, everyone is performing correctly in perfect purity. There is no action now which is not pure devotion. And by your own purity, you can perceive the purity of others. And if your perception of others proves them to be not pure, then it is your own inner nature that is not yet purified. For only that which is within you can you now perceive in others. Verse 1, and it is I who hear all sounds. It is from me that no sound is hidden or unheard, I hear the black ant creeping across the sand in the night. Now, those are equal to me.
Right.
Those are equal. The perception of that which is from yourself and that you notice in others is the same as being able to hear the sound of the black ant creeping across the sand in the night. They're the same. They have the same quality. They're on a par. So this formulation of God, Dani, the listener, it equates the divine audition, that quality of absolute sensing, which does not rely on any of our senses, with the knowledge, I'm going to use the word knowledge, it's not accurate, but the knowledge of self, as in inner self, about reality. Those two, for me, come out on an even, on the scale, they're balanced, they're equal. And it's a quality of this particular book that I think it goes through a lot, but it actually comes out even. It comes out with this almost optimistic statement.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
That here's a way for you to go forward.
Yes.
But it's level. It's balanced.
Yeah.
That's what always strikes me in this particular verse. It's like it's got all of this motion, but it is, on a whole, even. It's on an even keel. Very intriguing to me. The other books, I don't feel them. I feel like, oh my God, I've just been, you know,
right,
gone through a lot. But this one, I feel like, I'm level.
Yeah, this is a very, it's an informative book, and it's very gentle the way, in a sense, it lets us down at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's basically you're kind of lost. Things are happening. It's bad, bad, bad. But guess what? Here's how you can step off of that train track onto something different.
Yeah.
That last 17 is spectacular.
It's so lovely.
Yeah.
Did you want to?
Yeah. So all of it comes down to spending time in grade. And every time you get a chance, whether it's the exercise of we were informed of lying down and observing your body for 10 minutes and exactly what goes on. That is a form of observation.
Yeah.
I have to do it in as I go through the day and watch my judgment of myself and how I perceive. But this last paragraph, if it's something that we can bring to the table as we go through our day, think about that. How do you perceive your days, you know, and in reality, regardless of your perception, everyone is performing correctly in perfect purity. And there is no action now which is not pure devotion. And by your own purity, you can perceive the purity of others. And if your perception of others proves them to be not pure, then it is your own inner nature that is not yet purified.
Mm-hmm.
For only that which is within you can you now perceive in others. Well, that's one worth carrying around in your shirt pocket, you know, and bringing out at...
Put it on with your lipstick in the morning.
Put it on with your lipstick in the morning when you're pumping your gas at 2 in the afternoon and you don't quite have enough money, and pull it out, you know?
Yeah.
So all of us find more and ways and means of staying in this place and invoking the space that we are being introduced to in these books the perfection of our practice of presence. And when we can bring it into our daily activities, we intrude into the mechanicalness of life
mm-hmm.
with a poetic movement of our being. And it's very nice. It's a nice thing to do. I'm looking forward to tomorrow because I have a series of strict business meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are so concerned about some things, you know, that are very important.
Yeah.
And how can I help them but be fully observant, bring all the tools I have as a CPA to their solution base, and stay in this place? I can.
Yeah.
You can. Then at that moment, I'm practicing the practice of the presence of God. And
mm-hmm.
I'm bringing it into the space. I'm allowing it to flow through into that space. And that guy's going to be touched by it too.
Of course.
And he won't know why. Because you need to.
Right. Not relevant. Dan, do you have comments that we should collect there or questions from anyone?
Some good
Thank
ones,
you.
So.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Good ones. Good. How many, what are we up to? Five?
Eight.
Out of eight.
Good.
We were at zero for the first one.
Yeah, we had
us.
Atmospheric.
So anyway, I think, is that it? Are you okay over there, Dan?
It was a take.
Huh?
That was a take?
That was it. That's a take.
Yeah.
So bring these into your daily life.
Yeah, verse 17.
It's a great inspiration. And if you do that, share it with the rest of us so we know how it went. I'll do it tomorrow in the next few days, and I'll share it next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And we'll have another class at that time.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, everyone.
And good night.
Good night.